This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sebastian Cosa maybe in net.
Yeah.
So, lot to be curious about with that.
We said we get some Michigan and Michigan State stuff. I do want to start with this. Larry Lage of the Associated Press did a story about Armarion Smith from the Spartans, who has lost his mom recently to cancer, and he is raising his four siblings all by himself at this point. And there's a GoFundMe set up for him. And if you just go to GoFundMe and put in his name, Armarion Smith, you can go support him and what he is doing. Tragic story and certainly an inspirational story as well. So and
this is where NIL is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And then look, NIL has a chance to be good in a lot of ways.
Yes.
The story out of UNLV is obviously where it's kind of got another side. But anyway, anything you can do, GoFundMe and Armarion Smith. With that said, Spartans taking on Ohio State. Gator, I think Ohio State might be extremely good, which doesn't mean I am some football savant. But it's also important to point out who they have played. And it's okay to question how good they are based upon that, because I thought it was fair to question Michigan the last couple of years through the non-conference schedule and had no problem with it, because eventually you have to prove yourself. But early in the season, is it at all possible that Ohio State is vulnerable? More vulnerable than people think.
I don't think so. I think they're awfully good. I think the quarterback's only going to get better. I don't think he's great, Will Howard, but I think he's a guy that's given more time with the offense and working with these players that are new to him. He'll get better, mm-hmm. kind of like Jake Rudock at Michigan that first year. May not have started so great, but as things went on, he got better every game. By the end of the season, he was a really good quarterback for Michigan. Howard, I think, is going to be the same thing, but he's got so much to work with. I mean, you've got Judkins there, the running back, and Travion's there again. And the receiving core, this just in. It's great again mm-hmm. with another true freshman stepping up. Was it Jeremiah Smith, I think is his name?
Yep.
He's amazing already. He's got four touchdowns already on the season, and he's not the number one option there because they've got all these other guys, Ibuka and others, and it's just it's a well-oiled machine. That's the school that reloads, and if they have to go the transfer portal route, they do, and do it unabashedly like most of the really good football teams do, and they keep it rolling. Michigan State needs to play like that perfect game. They can't turn the ball over, which is really hard to do when you're Michigan State this year. You're going to have growing pains with Aiden Childs and the rest of this offense, but you know, Childs has been, he's the one, he's the quarterback who has all the talent, but he's made a lot of mistakes so far, and he's also made some plays. But the offensive line is so banged up, they have no running game to speak of. So I'm not hopeful for Michigan State's chances. What I'd like to see is if Michigan State's defense, if that's the key, if that's the better part of this team, can they slow down Ohio State at all? Can they keep Ohio State south of 40 points in the game? I think it's a tall task.
Yeah, I mean, just so people know what I was talking about, Ohio State's strength of schedule ranks 131 out of 134 teams, but the remaining strength of schedule is 18th in the country, this according to ESPN's College Football Power Index. So they are going to have to prove themselves on the field.
Well, they're beating up on the MAC.
Yeah.
You know, with Akron, Western, and Marshall.
Akron again.
And Akron East, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, good for them, but, there's heavier lifting to be done. And this is another one of those games. And look, when you're playing a big game at home, there's you don't want to turn it over and you don't want to fall behind quickly.
Yeah, and don't help them out by stupid penalties again.
No.
Can you calm those down? Can we see like five penalties or less in a game? It'd be a nice start. If you can go, if Michigan State commits like five penalties or less and doesn't turn the ball over, maybe things are closer than what the spread is.
Now, Michigan, they're taking on Minnesota. Minnesota is not a team that has stopped the run. So what do you think the game plan might be? What is going to be the game plan? I think what they'd like to do is run the ball early, get a big lead, and then try and stretch it out a little bit with Alex Orji and expand the resume, the menu of plays available to him. I don't know that last week was reflective of where Michigan wants to be. I think it's reflective of where they are and that moment of time. And so what is the game plan that can win this football game? And players get better. You mentioned Jake Rudock. It's a great example of a player that got better as the year went on. And I also, you know, getting Colston Loveland back, which looks like it's a possibility. I mean, he's their best receiver, and he was out of that game. Late in the game, Marlon Klein got hurt. We'll see what his status is. But so they that final play, they had two tight ends that barely play on the field for that fourth and two against USC. But, you know, big games like that, you just find a way to win. Games like this coming up, you also can't lose sight of the ultimate goal, which is to win, but you also hope you have a chance to get the score in a place where you can experiment a little bit and give some experience to not only Alex Orji, but those receivers. There was an underrated play made by Orji in that game, and that was the flea flicker where he didn't throw it because nobody was open. That's a big play. You get to take a shot. You're all excited, and then you run it, and it doesn't really work, but instead of throwing it in coverage, he tucked it and got 6 yards. And, you know, you got to make the right decisions. And Michigan also has had turnover problems. And they were fine-ish. I don't know if they would have held on and won 20-17, but they were winning against a team that was supposed to beat them when they finally turned it over, and that changed everything. But
well, a lot of the turnovers this year have been because Davis Warren was throwing interceptions. I mean, six of them. That's where you have that correction. But I would imagine that, yes, run the ball early and often against Minnesota. But if you're able to be successful with that, then I imagine that you're probably not going to play Orji a whole lot after you've built up a 4-5 touchdown lead if you can do that, if they're successful in doing so. And then if you are, you're going to want to bring other quarterbacks in and give them a chance, I would imagine. But look, Minnesota just gave up 31 points to Iowa.
Mostly because they couldn't stop the run.
But let that sink in.
Yep.
Iowa, who was scoring like 17 points a game last year, suddenly has found how to score this year. But they win that game 31-14. I would imagine Michigan's able to have an easier day of it than that. And yet they're only a 9-point favorite in this game.
We're actually out of time to empty the bucket. Let's do that at 12:02. Get back into the Tigers and Lions as well. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.